Chile and the Champ.
What up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Chile and the Champ. I'm your host, the Chile, along with the homie.
The Champ.
Powwow, baby.
That's what I'm talking about, man. We're going to start it out with some sad news, man. You know, I don't know how do I feel about this. I know I'm sad and everything, Paul, but, you know, it's like every other month we talking about a school shooting or something like that. And I guess what makes it worse is that this one happened at, it's like at home, basically, yeah. Santa Fe High School, man, you know. So yeah, our thought and prayers are with the people, the victims of Santa Fe and their families and anybody that's been a victim of school shooting, you know.
So. Definitely, man. And, you know, you think about how at that school they were prepared or as prepared as you think you could be. You know, they had, two officers on duty. They were armed. They also had drills and training. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes, you know, it's just what can you do to prevent that? There's really sometimes nothing you can do. And it's terrifying to think of this, that this is what our kids have to go through and have to think about and experience, especially as school is winding down. You know, it's only a couple of weeks left of school. Yeah. You know, we think about this every single day when my kids go to school. It's like another day. It's a blessing that they get an opportunity to go to school and that they make it out. You know, hopefully, you know, it's something that's it's become scary, across our country, and it's right here in our own backyard. You feel helpless. Like, what can you do? What can we do? And they say people talk down about, oh, you shouldn't say thoughts and prayers. No, of course, we should definitely pray. If there's ever a time to pray, this is definitely a time we all need to pray. And this, whatever it's going to take to solve this, is definitely going to require a lot of thought. But it's also going to require some action, man. You know, nobody's doing nothing. If we're not doing anything to prevent this, it's going to continue to happen. And as more and more people do it, and as more and more times it happens, they get, you know, all these documentaries made about them. You know, to me, I feel like it inspires other people to do the same thing. It kind of spreads. It's contagious sometimes. You know, this type of terrorism that we have here in America is crazy, because it definitely inspires and it spreads, because you see more and more people do it. You know, this guy, they say he learned from some of the other school shootings he studied, you know, with his pipe bomb going off. And so, you know, the more we talk about it, the more it's going to continue to spread if we don't do something. And, you know, I don't know what the answer is, but we can, you know, doing nothing is definitely not the answer. I don't know what to do other than pray. You know, I'm definitely, I'm not a political leader, so I don't make the laws. I don't know nothing about that other than I know I'm a gun advocate. I definitely own several firearms, and, I'm definitely for the Second Amendment. So, you know, at the same time, you know, where do you find that balance as being, you know, pro Second Amendment? At the same time, you know, you don't want, you know, your kids to be afraid to go to school and learn, you know what I'm saying? And there's so many different, you know, what was this particular weapon he used?
Man, so look, this guy, he had his father's shotgun and a .38 revolver. Those were his two weapons. Plus, they said he had pipe bombs. He had like a pressure cooker bomb and all this stuff. So that's why it kind of took a little bit, you know, for him to surrender, because the cops had to go through a lot of stuff. You know, the bomb squad had to be there and everything.
One thing I don't understand is how sometimes we can see so carelessly life be taken by somebody who wasn't doing anything wrong. But then somebody who's doing all of this, they take them peacefully. Now, I'm not advocating people should be killed, but I'm just saying, like, how is it so easy for somebody to be killed?
I think they wanted to take them. You know, I think the cops want every person, they want to take them alive, especially when it's like this, because to them, they want to see them be tried in court and everything, you know? Plus, you know...
Yeah, but if you think if he was black, you think they would have took him alive?
I don't know, because there's no... Let's be honest, since we're asking this question, let's be honest, you don't see black, Hispanics, and everything committing school shootings. I mean, well, you got that Hispanic dude over there in Florida...
But we
haven't seen that happen.
Did they taser him?
No, he gave himself up.
Okay. Now, first of all, I'm not over here criticizing whoever did whatever, man, I'm not at all, you know, whatever they did, you know, I'm not here to criticize at all. You know, I'm not speaking negatively on that. I'm just saying that, you know, how sometimes we see people being, you know, killed when
I mean, choked just for selling cigarettes, yeah, or, yeah. You know, like, obviously, that you do bring a good point, but like I said, I don't know.
Those are two separate issues, you know, and I ain't trying to, just, you know, but I'm just saying, you know, what do you do? That we all as a whole in our society, we don't got it all figured out, man, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of times people just, you know, we get so caught up in what's going on in the Instagram world, we forget about what's going on in the real world. And then at the same time, you know, we all sometimes, me personally, I think, like, what all of this is a distraction? Like, what is really going on is really important, and what are we being distracted from? Either, you know, Kanye West, with everything he had going on, was that all just a distraction? Was it all just for him to sell records? Or was it really something going on, and was it something to what he was saying?
I just think everybody forgot about Kanye West because he just started doing stupid stuff. And then you got bigger things that were more important, like taking over, you know, like you had the school shooting, you know, to me, the school shooting takes over anything.
Especially so close to home.
And like, you know, to me, I was just like tripping on the Instagram. You know, I just couldn't understand how the school shooting happened on Friday, but then everybody was talking about the royal wedding Saturday morning. And I was like, dude, to me, it's like, why worry about something that's going across in another country? Why not fix home first? And then we can start worrying about that. Because what I meant by that is fix home is like, we got to fix the issues that are here, you know? And everybody was like, well, everybody needs a little bit of happiness to a little break and stuff like that. That's fine and all. But to me, it's like, let's get down to the problems. I mean, you saw all the politicians coming out of nowhere.
Right.
Going to Santa Fe, getting on TV, saying, oh, and I'm going to fight for this, and I'm going to making their political. I'm like, dude, don't push your personal agendas on a tragedy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like you had Greg Abbott over there. Oh, yes, you know, when we get to the office on Tuesday, why does it have to be on Tuesday? Why couldn't it have been that day? Where he said, okay, today we're starting. I'm calling, you know, we need to do it right now.
They keep putting it off to Tuesday. Yeah. It needs to be done now. And at the same time, you know, it's crazy, man. This whole situation is just, it's crazy. What do you do?
Man, you know, I think, first of all, man, you know, there was two police officers there, and that's kind of what helped prevent it from being more casualties, you know? Yeah. So, you know.
Salute to them. Thank you.
Man, everybody that passed away and suffering, got injured, now, like, man, God bless their souls, you know? Hopefully they're in a better place. The families, all we can tell y'all is stay strong, man, you know? The people got y'all, man. Stay strong, man.
One thing I always wonder, like, what can we do to prevent this? You know, we can always sit back and analyze and, you know, criticize and pick apart different things. But one thing that I know I have control over, or the thing out of all of this that I have the most control over, is what goes on in my own household.
Yes, sir.
So me being a husband and a father, a parent, you know, I can't control what goes on in these other people's household. But I can watch what's going on with my own kids and talk to them about what's going on and try to help them deal with it and go through it. So I know everybody has different type of, you know, schedules. Everybody's busy. Everybody got a lot going on. But, man, put them kids first, man. See what's going on. See how you can help. Talk to them. You know, counsel. We all need a little bit of a shoulder to lean on, somebody to talk to sometimes. So one thing that I do that I can't control is what goes on in my house and how I deal with it with my kids, so that they not going to school trying to, you know, do this to harm the people, you know, and they got healthy ways to deal with it.
Yeah, man, because that's, you know, it starts with love at home, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
If your parents, you know, no matter, you know, kids are going to be like kids, man. They're going to be like, oh, mom, oh, dad, come on, stop, you know. That's just how natural. We were all in that age. We were in that stage and everything. I think they just need to be like, hey, you know what? How was your day today? Okay, you good. Everything good with you, you know? Just asking little questions to them, you know. Eventually, if something is bothering them, they're going to tell you, you know. Teach them how not to keep everything bottled up inside of them to where it blows up and it's too late to do something about it.
Right.
And that's what I see, like, a lot of, like, I know in the minorities, you know, Hispanics, Blacks, we're always, like, try to teach our young boys to be men. But we're doing it wrong because we're like, oh, you're a man. You're not supposed to show no emotions. You're not supposed to cry. You know, you don't do this. You don't do that. You got to do this because this is what real men do. Nah, man, you gotta tell your son, hey, man, if you got to let it out every now and then, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, don't keep it all bottled in. You know, if you want to go up to your dad and your mom and tell them I love you, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Tell your family you love them. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, And that's how I feel sometimes, man, that people nowadays, we're trying to teach everybody to be so tough that we forget, hey, let's be human first, man.
For sure.
And, you know, man, it's just sad to me. It did bother me a lot. I didn't even want to watch the news on Friday. My wife was like, they're doing a press conference. Like, you know, I don't want to watch that because, you know, it hurt everybody enough already that it's close to her house, you know. And then, in like 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks ago in Palmdale, California, a high school that one of my nieces that lives out there goes. There was reports of an active shooter, you know, and, you know, I'm sitting there texting them, hey, dude, the kid's okay and everything. And they're like, oh, yeah, they closed the school, so I brought her home. So, you know, I was a little more peaceful, but I was like, man, that's a little bit too close to home. And then 2 weeks later, I'm over here, man, we're talking about Santa Fe High School, man. And we're not making it a political thing about gun control and all that because, you know what? Let's find a solution. Let's stop playing the blame game. Like everybody, first thing they say, oh, yeah, the NRA this, the NRA that. Oh, right. We got to do this. No, man, stop putting enough is enough, man. Yeah.
With the, you know, a pipe bomb, you know, you could pass any type of gun law you want. With a pipe bomb, that's not, you know, that has nothing to, you know, that's not the same type of thing. So if somebody wants to do these type of things, you know, let's just think, you know, there is a solution somewhere in this. And, you know, I really, you know, appreciate everything you said because, you know, at the same time, even in my niece's high school earlier in this year, there, you know, people threaten. Even, you know, I remember back when I was in high school, people used to threaten this and that. You hear, you don't think nothing about it. But now you really start, you got it. You can't take no type of threat lightly. And at the same time, homeschool ain't looking so bad now, man.
Bro, I was texting my brothers out in L.A., and I was telling them, you know, with all the stuff that's going on, I was like, going back to Guatemala schools, they're looking real safe right now compared to schools here because, you know, it's like, damn.
A lot of times, too, you know, the schools get criticized for, you know, what they're teaching them in the classrooms and what the curriculum is and, you know, what their depiction of certain historical events are and what they sometimes leave out. And, you know, when you homeschool somebody, you know, you have more kind of control, I guess, of what you kind of teach them.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, I want to shout out to my boy Jesse James, man. He made a nice post just talking about, you know, how as parents, you know, saying just really we got to step up. And at the same time in the schools, the things we teaching them in our schools, we're not teaching them trades like, you know what I'm saying, how to weld or how to even home economics, like how to sew or how to cook. These are things that we all need.
That they're all taken away from schools, you know?
Exactly, yeah. All the art programs, these are things that we really need to put back into the schools. And if we teach these type of things to people, then I feel like, you know, we'll have something to do with our time or we'll have a way to express ourselves other than, you know, keeping it all inside, like you said, man. So, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to my boy Jesse James on that.
You know, one thing, I was talking to my homeboy, Dirty Lou, yesterday. You know, we were talking about this, and I told him, I was like, hey, do you feel safe sending your daughters to school right now? And he said, yes, I feel safe. You know, my daughter's safe and everything. Because I kept asking him a question. I was like, do you think, you know, because I've gone to some schools here and talked to the kids. You know, we've done pep rallies and all that stuff in the schools here. And I think they should. I've been to schools to where you have to ring the doorbell, and they buzz you in, but you cannot go anywhere. When you get buzzed in, automatically sends you straight to the front office, and you have to register, put your ID in, and everything. You know.
Right.
So my thing is, why not have two cops for every school in every district? You know what I'm saying? You have two cops. One needs to be definitely at the front office. You know. One at the front office checking people in, you know, patting them down if he has to, you know, because
for sure metal detectors for sure.
They need
for
to be in school. Yeah. It doesn't have to be. It's got to be mandatory now.
Yeah.
So
because I don't feel safe sending my kids to school, and a lot I know what people will say, what the politicians will say is, well, they don't have the money for it, but at the same time
they got the money.
They got money for the stadiums. They got these stadiums cost a lot of money.
Let me tell you know, like in KDISD,
stadium,
man.
Bro. Oh my God.
They were trying to get another stadium built that was going to cost like $90 million. And they turned it down. But whenever they say, oh, the school district say we don't have the money for this. Let me put an example to you. The superintendent for KDISD in Katy, Texas, You know, they voted to let him go because of all those bullying things that came out that when he was in junior high,
yeah,
he used to bully kids and everything, and now he's the superintendent. And one of those grown-ups now told him, yeah, you were one of the guys that bullied me. So it made the news and everything, and people, so they didn't like it, and they voted him out and everything. Now, he still gets to stay in his position for a year before he leaves. And on top of that, they got to pay him $750,000.
Wow.
So let me tell you, for those school districts to say, oh, we don't have the money for this, but y'all do have the money to give $750,000 to this dude when he leaves.
Yeah.
And on top of that, if I heard correctly, is that the taxpayers are going to have to pay for him to get an attorney for defamation lawsuits against all those people.
Hmm.
So you tell him, I ask you this, Paul, how many police officers or school district officers you could get for $750 a year right there? How many salaries?
Right.
If people will...
$750,000, that's a lot of money. $72 million was the price of the Katy football stadium.
Yeah.
So my thing is, look, we got the money, man. The money is there if we want to find it, or there's ways to raise the money. But, you know, there's ways that we shouldn't be terrified to send our kids to school.
I mean,
this only going to continue to happen all across the country. It's going to continue to happen.
And what's crazy is, like, you know, like they were interviewing a couple of kids from Santa Fe, and they were like, look, we knew it was going to happen sometime in our school. It was just a matter of when. Like, I was like, what do you mean you knew? It was expected, because with all the school shootings going on, all the kids are like, oh, yeah, it's probably going to happen here anytime. It's right. Just a matter of time, you know? And it's just like, damn, to me, it's like, man, I remember when I was in school, hey, the most trouble we did was like, hey, all right, man, so tomorrow, to get out of this test, we're going to pull the fire alarms and we ain't got to take the test, you know? And stuff like that. That was the most, like...
Have a food fight.
Yeah, you know, a food fight or something like that. But yeah, now kids are actually, you know, it's getting serious, man. It's like, so, you know, man, I just hope, you know, that we can all come together and find a solution, man, because... Arguing back and forth is not doing it.
Right.
We need a solution.
Right.
And like the chief, HPD, the police chief,
Acevedo.
He did an interview to where he said, man, I hit rock bottom, man. I'm done. You know, yeah. It's like all I saw is all these politicians coming out of nowhere making promises and all this stuff. Well, I hope they prove us wrong and they actually do what they said they were going to do.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like, you can sit there and say, oh, yeah, tragedy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. But at the end of the day, you're just trying to put your face into place.
Right,
that's basically all you're doing.
Yeah.
So let's just hope, man, we find a solution. And, you know, for all the people that are saying, you know, gun control this, gun control that, man, you know what? First of all, start voting. Get involved. Right. Register and vote, people. Because if you don't like the way things are going, you have a choice. When you register to vote, and you vote for the candidate that best represents change for you or whatever.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't even think gun control would have prevented the Santa Fe shooting.
Nah, I mean, you know, it's going to happen regardless. You just try to make it.
But I'm just saying that to say that, like, you know, when you come out on, or when anyone comes out on any, when you say anything of any sorts, you know, it's like you stir the pot up with this. We all, you know, when we do this, so. But, you know, like you said, man, I encourage us all, we don't have to argue about this.
No.
You know, you got to be open-minded about this. And, you know, although gun control is definitely an issue that we should all consider and talk about, these school shootings, I think, is the mental health aspect of it.
Yeah, that's part of it.
It's so important. And there's a lot of different aspects that, we can all discuss, you know, without tearing each other heads off.
No.
We just got to keep an open mind for sure.
Hell yeah. I mean, I think if people start arguing, which is talking about it, and then they start arguing and start offending each other, that's uncalled for, because really you're part of the problem then, because you're not really like helping anything, you know?
Right.
I agree to disagree. You know what? You have your opinion. I have my opinion. You don't have to like my opinion. I don't have to like your opinion, but I have to respect it, because that's what's beautiful about this country, that you can have your own opinion. But as long as we find a solution, that's the only thing that I care about, man. You know, so what, man? I appreciate everybody that, you know, sends prayers to the families and talks and everything. They, you know, because it's a small community out there, man. So, you know, everybody's going to need it, man. And let's not forget, man, the people out there, that community, it's gonna be tough, man, because, you know, the kids got to go back to school, yeah. You know, and then they got to go back to this, you know. So, you know, the kids are going to need help. And the parents, you know, it's just going to be, it's just, man, it's just sad.
How do we deal with this? You know what I'm saying? Like, how did the kids deal with that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, it's that type of PTSD is real.
They're victims, man. Even though they're still alive, they're still victims.
Yeah. And all of the people involved, the people who were, you know, definitely the people whose lives were lost, the people who were injured, all the people at the school, all the citizens out there, the people at the other schools, and anybody who is out there who's a parent. You know, even me as a parent, you know, we all are affected in different type of ways.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just only getting closer and closer and closer to home. And, you know, a lot of the people who, you know, are so outspoken about not doing anything, you know, it's just a shame. That sometimes you wonder if they have a heart sometimes.
Because,
you know, this isn't a time to stir the pot and, you know, like you said, and to go out there and get votes and, to come up as a politician. This is a time that, you know, some people really have an opportunity to make a change and to do something.
Damn.
You know, what are you going to do with your opportunity right now? You have the opportunity right now. Now is the time. You don't have to wait till another election. Do something now. Try something now. Put something together now. Quit waiting.
Yeah, and it's true, man. We've been saying it since we started our first episode of podcasting here, Chilling the Champ. We've been saying, educate yourself, register, and vote. Definitely. You know, and we still advocating for that, man. Register and vote because, man, that's the only way we're going to see change. Because a lot of politicians, you know, let's be honest, man. A lot of politicians. They get campaign money, you know, so they owe favors to everybody and their mama. So they say, well, I can't vote against this because this so-and-so donated this money for this. And that's really how it's going, man. And, you know, to where the kids are the ones that are important right now. Kids are number one. How to keep our kids safe at schools. That's the only issue. It shouldn't be about, okay, well, the NRA this, this. And you know what? People are going to play the blame game left and right. That's what they're going to do. But at the end of the day, man, I'm all about fixing the problem. So we're just going to have to find out how that's going to go, man. And you know what, man? Tough times, you know, it's the sad thing that this is probably not going to be the last school shooting. Yeah. That's what's sad. Let's learn from this one and try to prevent the next one.
Definitely screaming and yelling at each other is not going to help solve nothing.
Yeah.
So there's some type of way, it's some type of way. And I feel like, you know, as long I feel like God's going, you know, I don't know why this is happening, but I feel like God is going to provide a solution some type of way. Out of this, we might get a great leader. We've been needing a leader for our generation. And our country is not, we've always had a lot of politicians, but we've been lacking in the leadership. We need a leader. So maybe this will bring a leader out for somebody.
And, you know, this whole thing has been going back since Obama was in president. People were, like, trying to, like, when he was running for president, everybody put the fear in people saying, oh, Obama's going to take our guns away. He's going to take our guns away. And you know what? I was like, dude, why y'all making people fear, like, putting fear in people with stuff that he even said, man, I didn't take nobody's guns away. He said, if you notice, I was just making sure that all the gun people were being responsible because, you know, it's like if you, like, let's say the mom and pop shop over here, they follow the rules when they're selling a gun. But then you go to gun shows and this guy's like, oh, man, I got to make this sell because I paid this much money to be in this gun show.
Right.
So I can't just lose this money. Huh? You know, maybe I'll take a little shortcut here and there. And they sell the gun and don't go through the protocol. And the wrong person gets the gun.
Right.
You know? That's the kind of stuff that we need to start policing, man. Yeah. Holding the gun salespeople accountable if they sell a gun. Well, he had all the right paperwork, but, you know, the system was down that day. So, you know, screw all that, man. You know what? Hey, I hope you're happy with that $1,000 sale that you got because it could have caught somebody's losing their life.
Yeah.
They need to start being held accountable.
Somebody's got to be accountable.
And this is how I kind of feel about the shooter's father. To me, if his son got the guns, the shotgun and the .38 from his dad, one, did his dad not keep them locked up safely because his son got them? So to me, I think the father needs to be charged some with some accountability, because when kids find a gun and they accidentally shoot each other, you know, like we've seen, they always charge the parent that owned the gun with some kind of responsibility, because they said you failed to keep it locked up and everything. So I'm going with that route. Everybody, you know, I don't want to hear about the dad saying, "Oh, he was such a nice kid. I never respect." No, you know what? It doesn't matter. Every parent's gonna say their kid is a good kid until something like it. You know.
This also should be like a wake up call for all of us. Like even for myself, I'm thinking myself, like, okay, I gotta make sure my shit is locked up. Yeah. I gotta make sure my shit is straight.
Look, you know, yeah. They sell gun safes for like $300, $400.
Yeah.
You can go buy one and you can fit like 10, 12 guns if you have multiple guns and it's got it locked. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we need, man, yeah. You know.
We got to control. This goes back to the same point. We got to control that what we can control.
Yeah.
If it's your gun, you can control that by putting it in the safe. If you know, no. If it's my family, I can control that by helping them talk about what's going on in their life and helping them get it out, to get their aggressions out healthily, get them advice. And if it's a whole bunch of bullshit, then fuck that school. We're going to homeschool or transfer you. Now, I know everybody can't always do the same type of thing that maybe other people can do. Like, maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, you know, but at the same time, man, there's always, there's a healthy way to deal with this. There's another type of way to deal with this. And, you know, we got to control that, what we can control. You know what I'm saying? We got to put positive things into our kids. Stop letting the video games and the TVs and their phones raise them just because we don't want to be bothered or because we're busy or we got a headache. We got to really be more hands-on with our children, and we really got to talk to them sometimes. And we got to be aware of what we leave out, whether it's, you know what I'm saying, guns or stuff like that, or, you know, knives or different things like that that we might have that could possibly be a weapon. We got to, you know, if for sure, if you got a gun, man, you can't just be leaving it out for your kids.
No.
We got to talk to these, we got to talk to our kids, though, for sure, man. We really got to talk to our kids.
Man, just send love to everybody, man. Show your kids how to be human and love each other and love humanity and life.
Chile and the champ.
Paul, I know during this weekend you went to the tattoo convention that was in Houston.
Yes.
So tell me about your experience at the tattoo convention.
Well, I went out there, shout out to my boy G6. G6 Tattoos. He got a booth. It's the Villain Arts Tattoo Convention. It was at NRG at the hall. And it was all Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I went out there on Friday. Then I went back on Sunday and got tattooed on Sunday.
So you got tatted up in the convention.
Yeah. It's kind of similar to, you know, a lot of people have been to the car show. Or you know, the Comic Con or different, you know, kind of like that. You know, there's different booths. So there's a lot of tattoo people who do tattoos, the tattoo shops, they get booths. You know, a lot of celebrity tattoo artists, a lot of different brands.
Yeah.
People who do the aftercare for tattoos, like the stuff you put on it afterwards, or the ink, or, you know, like Bishop, the different type of people who make the machines, the tattoo machines. So it's a great market, man. And there's a lot of, you know, I encourage a lot of artists out there. You know, everybody that's a dope artist ain't always a dope tattoo artist, but, you know, it's something I encourage people to get into, you know what I'm saying, definitely, because there's a lot of dope tattoo artists here in Texas, man. You know, it was dope, man. So I was, you know, we sitting there basically, you know, getting tattooed, you know, right there in front of everybody. So it's, you know, it's cool. But I don't know if I'll do it again, because it get kind of annoying after a while. Everybody coming up trying to dap you up while you're getting tattooed.
Yeah.
You know, we trying to, you know, and at the same time, we were trying to enter into the contest. So we got to, you know, cut off time. We got to be finished by a certain time where we can't enter the contest.
Yeah.
And, you know, and every 5 seconds, everybody want to come up and look and see what it looked like and shake our hands and do our, you know, talk to us. And we, at the same time, we're not trying to be, you
rude,
know,
rude,
but at the same time, I'm trying to get a tattoo, man.
Man, because they can make a simple tattoo that can take hour and a half to, like, 3 hours just by stopping and saying, you know, so it's crazy, man. Yeah. You know, we both love tattoos. You know, we got them and everything. And the good thing I like about tattoo conventions, man, is that they have artists from all over the USA and sometimes the world.
Yeah.
That travel in a certain, you know, they fly in because it's a big tattoo convention. And, I mean, you get to see all kinds of different styles of tattooing. You got the black and gray.
Yep.
You got the colors. Mm-hmm. And everything. So I think that's pretty dope because, you know, if you like tattoos, you know, you want to see that kind of stuff. And
you get a lot of ideas. Yeah. You get inspiration from what other people are getting, what other people are doing. You get opportunity to meet some of these tattoo artists. You know what I'm saying? Big shout out to G6. Shout out to my boy Flox. Flox was in town. He was doing tattoos right there at the booth too. Shout out to Brenda. Shout out to Flex. Everybody over there. Rizzo. Everybody at G6 Tattoos. Man, my boy G6 definitely, he tattooed me. It's funny, man. My boy G6, he got such a light hand. So, you know, he tattooed. To, he did it so quick too. This is my first one that really got color too. He put a little color on it. I got that spaceman from HTX Tactical.
Yeah, you know, I saw that.
Yeah, so it's a nice little tattoo. We're gonna show you some pictures later on, man. To y'all, I'm gonna show y'all some pictures later. But my boy G6 did it real smooth and quick. You know, he definitely got that light hand, so it was a nice addition to my tattoo collection.
You know, I've been wanting to get another tattoo. I just haven't. I like the 3D tattoos though. They got 3D tattoos that are freaking awesome, man.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I have the patience to sit there and get, because it's going to take a couple sessions to get it, man. Yeah. It's not going to be like in one session and that's it, man. So, you know, shout out to everybody that went out to the tattoo convention.
Chile and the champ.
All right, man, we're going to finish on a positive note, man. You know what? We want to give a big shout out to Houston Texan J.J. Watt, man.
J.J. Watt, what it do, what it do.
This guy keeps surprising me and everybody. He just keeps being so human, you know what I'm saying? So. Yeah. We know with the tragedy of a Santa Fe high school shooting, J.J. Watt offered to pay for all the funerals of all the victims of the Santa Fe high school murder.
Big salute to J.J. Watt, man. Thank you for your heart, man. Thank you for all the athletes, all the unsung heroes, all the rappers, whoever, everybody. There's a lot of people just throughout our communities, you know, they really do it from the heart, not for the cameras and all of that, you know. But at the end of the day, man, thank you for doing that. It's inspiring all of us. And, you know, we all are grateful. We love that. You know what I'm saying? Big shout out. Hey, I want to shout out to my boy Bruce Bang, too. What's up, Bruce Bang? Yeah, what it do, baby?
And you know what? The thing is, J.J. Watt gets criticized a lot. I know a lot of people don't like him. Some people don't like him because they feel like he hasn't done enough for the hurricane people. Like, a lot of people are like, where's the money? Where's the money? Yeah. But, you know, they criticize him for that. And a lot of people got to understand, man, this dude wants to make sure that the money goes to the right people. And by when we say the right people, it means that it actually gets to the people that need it. I know a lot of people know that he got $37 million, and they expect that what they want to see J.J. walking around the street handing $100 to everybody. That's not gonna help anything.
Bro, when we had our GoFundMe that we did, we raised a little bit of money, and big thank you to everybody who supported that. But I just remember all of the red tape of everything we had to do and how much we wanted to help and what we actually were able to help and to do. And I just imagine, like, man, imagine if I had the $37 million he had, like, oh, my God, I know. And at the end of the day, man, he's a football player, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? His job is to go out there and be a football. So all of this, he's just doing from the heart, or he's doing because he has the opportunity to do, or because, you know, for whatever. But it's a great thing. But at the end of the day, a lot of times, man, we sometimes put so much added pressure, like, that it's like – he's not our savior, man. He's a football player. This is so awesome and amazing he's doing this, you know what I'm saying? But we should not be upset with him, you know what I'm saying? It's not his job or duty to save all of us. So, you know what I'm saying? If we should not be upset at all, man. J.J. Watt definitely, and man, like, doing it from the heart.
And like he said, man, $37 million is nothing compared to what it's going to take to repair the city and everything. Right. That, so, you know, $37 million doesn't even put a dent on what it's costing. So people automatically say, oh, $37 million, we want part of that money and all that stuff.
This is what people say. They say, shit, it's only going to cost me $50,000 to fix my house.
Yeah,
he got $37 million. I know he could give me $50,000.
But you know what? It's about trying to help as many people as you can.
Because before the hurricane, J.J. Watt wasn't paying your rent and fixing your house. Now the hurricane, everybody think, oh, it's J.J. Watt's responsibility. Since when is it his or anybody else's responsibility? It's not. It's the hurricane was an act of nature. That's like something that's out of anybody's control. Now, there were other things that went along with it, like when they let the water out so that the dams didn't break, all of that. Now, I do know people. That's how my mama's house was
flooded.
Excuse me. That's how my mama's house got flooded, was when they let the water out, and it completely destroyed everything she owned, and as well as, you know, Miss Papp, a lot of other people we know who lost a lot, you know, from that, not necessarily just from the flood. Those are things that we all kind of have to deal with on different type of levels, man. And, you know, and at the same time, man, I just gotta say, man, it ain't over for a lot of people out there.
Nah.
It's people still going through a lot. And just like Flint still got dirty water, man. A lot of these causes and things that, you know, stir up emotion amongst us, they come and they go, and when it's not cool to talk about anymore, the problem is still there.
Yeah.
It hadn't been solved. So all of these things are still there. There's still school shootings going on. There's still a lot of things that we as a society we should want to try to do better. We got to try to do better. We should want to do better. We want better.
And JJ offering to pay for the funeral cost of all the victims from the Santa Fe school shooting. He didn't announce it on social media. He didn't post it or anything. He called the people and said, "Hey, look, I'm going to pay for their funeral. I'm going to pay for all the funerals." So doing his part to kind of like, "Hey, man, don't worry about the stress. I know you're going through a tough time right now, man. The least thing you need to worry about is having to pay for a funeral or coming up with the money for it." You know what I'm saying? Because let's be honest, man, a lot of people don't have funerals paid for it already.
Right. It's a big cost.
Yeah, because people don't want to talk about it. They're like, "Oh man, I don't want to do this because, you know, it's sad. I don't want to talk about it." But the average funeral is it costs about $13,000 to $14,000 or $15,000 right there.
Then when somebody dies or passes away that you love and care about, you want to send them away
the way you want,
and a lot of times it costs money and you can't afford to do that. That's so good of JJ.
Yeah, White,
man.
I mean.
Big shouts out, salute. Man, one thing I wonder how we can track this or what we need to do. Man, why or what would we need to do to figure out if they going to name the Highway 99 the JJ Watt Freeway, man? They need to name that after JJ
Watt. I don't even know if they're going to do that anymore, man. But, he definitely is doing good in the community. He's doing his part more than what any other person or any regular person is doing. So, right. You know what, man?
Big shout out to
JJ Watt, man. You know what? Thank God that you're in Houston helping people, man. So, you know what? We salute you. And you know what? We also salute everybody out there that's doing good in the community.
For sure.
We might not know you or nothing, but as long as you're doing something good, hey, just know that you're appreciated. You know, you should do it from the kindness of your heart because you want to make a better change and all that stuff. So.
So, and if you got a cause or you got something going on that you would like us to be a part of, you know, we can't always be a part of everything. We got a lot going on, but we always do. We send us love and support. So if there's something you got going on you want us to support, you know, make sure you email us, chillinthechamp@gmail.com. And you know what I'm saying? We're going to try to show you some love and support however we can, whatever your cause is, man, for sure.
You know what, man? I think I forgot to mention one more person, man. Hey, Paul, shout out to you, man. I know you work with Cricket. And y'all were on the news recently when y'all raised money for a lady. Y'all raised some money to get this lady to pay for an adoption. Now, explain the story on how it goes, because from what I saw on the news, explain the story.
Well, there's this lady. She's a professor over at TSU. When Hurricane Harvey came, man, there's one thing about these natural disasters. When Hurricane Harvey comes, man, it affected all types of people. People of all different backgrounds, all walks of life, all races, everybody. It affected the whole city as a whole. And, there was this professor at TSU. She was in the process of trying to adopt this child who needed a little bit of help. And for whatever, you know, adoptions like that, they are really
expensive.
They cost
a lot of money, man. They can take, $30,000 right there.
Yeah, so she, you know, she's coming out of pocket for this. And we just, you know, came to try to give her a little bit of help, a little helping hand. And they didn't want the child to get, you know, caught up in the CPS or
the system
like that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I think the end goal eventually is for the girl to be back with, you know, her original family, maybe later on, whenever. I don't know. That's none of my business. Yeah. We just wanted to help.
Well, it was a good cause, man, because, it's a great thing, you know.
Sure.
I remember seeing the lady was so happy, you know, and you have somebody out there that's trying to help somebody out the way that they know how, you know what I'm saying? So big ups to everybody, man. And, hey, that's a good thing y'all did, man. Cricket, Paul Wall, and everybody that was involved in the process, you know, and congratulations and big shout out to y'all, man. You know what? Everybody out there, man, make sure y'all hit us up. But chillinthechamp@gmail.com.
Chillinthechamp.
And you know what, man? We're going to come back next week. We're going to try to have a more positive, happier show. But, you know, this school shooting was just so close to home, man, that we have to talk about it. We can't, you know, like I said, man, enough is enough, man. Love your kids. Give them a kiss good night. Tell them you love them. It doesn't make you doesn't make you weak telling people that you love them, you know. Sure. I mean,
yeah, don't wait till they're gone to say, I should have told them this, man. Tell people whatever you got, whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind, tell it to them today while you got the opportunity. Hey, big shout out to the Hawaiian Stallion, Gu Yu. He wasn't here. You know, he missing in action today.
Hawaiian Stallion? Is that what they
call it? That's Gu's nickname, the Hawaiian Stallion.
All right, man, we're going to leave y'all, man. Man, thank you, Michael Ortiz. Gu, you're not here. Paul, thank you. Appreciate you, man. You know what, man? Peace and love to everybody, man.